God bless all of you that are in right now. May the Lord be with you in the name of Jesus. I'm excited to be here tonight with you all. I'm excited for what the Lord is going to say. I'm excited for what I'm just excited, right? I try to give you guys a little snippet of Left Behind, but guess what? I got taken down for copyright, but that's okay. You guys saw enough of it. So we are going to get this started, but you know, I want to say hello to you all, and I want you to go ahead and share, tag, invite whoever you can, because it's going to be a powerful night tonight. I believe that God is going to move tremendously tonight. So let me know where you're watching from, who's watching, because it's going to be powerful tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me just share this a couple places, and we will get going in Jesus' name. Perfect. All right. God bless you, Carla. God bless you, Naomi. God bless you, Missy. Vanessa, God bless you. God bless all of you. And God bless all the people that are on here that say all I do is expose. God bless you too. We love you. We know you're silent in the background, but we love you over here in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that know me and have been following me, you know we do our routine teachings and whatnot. I've been sick the past 4 or 5 days, really, really bad. So if my nose sounds kind of nasally, that's because I've been sick. My wife has been sick. My son has been sick. So I'm going to sound a little strange a little bit. All right. So it's going to be good tonight as I really give you guys a exegesis on the rapture. All right. Now, if you can hear me well, I want you to type in the comments you can hear me. If the music is too loud, if it's perfect, I want you to let me know now. So I can change it for you. But if it's good right now, just let me know that it's good. And we will go ahead and get this started in the name of Jesus. I'm so excited. I love teaching. More than doing reaction videos or exposing, the number one thing I love to do and what my passion is teaching. You know, teaching and deliverance. That is my passion, okay? Teaching and deliverance is my passion. All right? You can hear me well? Is the music too loud or is it too loud? Okay. Turn it down a little bit. I'm really good. Music helps me to flow. Music helps me to flow a lot. It just helps me to really flow in the spirit. So I turned it down a little bit, but we're going to keep it on. Because that's what's helped me to really go forth. All right. I turned it down a little bit. Is that good? Is that good? I turned it down a little bit. Is that all right? Perfect. Is that good? Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right. So God bless you guys. I love you guys. We are here. We are here. Sorry for the 30-minute delay. Tonight's focus is going to be on the rapture. Okay? Tonight's focus is going to be on the rapture and what the Bible says about the rapture. And I believe that through this teaching, many of you will begin to, there will be a restoration, a healthy restoration of the fear of the Lord, a healthy restoration of the fear of the Lord that will be brought back into your life. You feel me? There will be a healthy restoration of the fear of the Lord that will be brought back into your life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So let me open this up in prayer. Father, I thank you, God, that you have, Lord, allowed me, Lord, to do the stream. Allowed me, Lord, to really study today, God, to preach unto your people, Father God, to teach them, Father God, of an event, Father God, that is coming. An event, Father God, that could be 100 years away, 50 years away, a day away. We don't know the hour, Lord, and in not knowing, Father God, this, you tell us to keep watch. You tell us, God, to have our lampstands lit, Father God. You tell us, Father God, to have our candles lit, God. You tell us, Lord, to be ready because we don't know the time. We don't know the hour. So I thank you, Father God, that I have this opportunity to preach unto your people because tomorrow is never promised, Lord. You could come. Anything could happen, God. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right? Amen and amen. So, like I said, tonight we will be focusing on the rapture. Okay? Now, a lot of people say, okay, the rapture is not in the Bible. There's no word that says rapture in the Bible, okay? We're going to break this down really quick, okay? The word rapture, okay, it simply means to be caught up or snatched away. The word rapture simply means to be caught up or snatched away, and this can be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Okay? The Latin translation of this verse uses rapturo. So in the Latin of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, they use the word rapturo. That's where we get rapture. And in the Greek, it uses harprazo to explain the sudden event that will take place called the rapture. So the word rapture comes from the Latin word rapturo, that is explaining a catching away. It is explaining it being caught up. Okay? This is an event that we call the rapture, which is a sudden event where we will be caught up with the Lord. Rapture is the English word for rapturo, explaining the same event. So there will be many people that will say this specific word is not in the Bible. Correct. There are transliterations that from Latin to Greek, and now we have things in English. You must understand these things. It simply is explaining being caught up or snatched away. Okay? This word is also used in other biblical events. Rapturo, harprazo, rapture. This word in context is also used in other biblical events, like when the Spirit caught up Philip near Gaza and brought him to a particular area. This is in Acts chapter 8 verse 39. It reads this: Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So that same word rapturo, that same word harprazo, is used here for Philip when he was snatched away, when he was caught up in the Spirit, when he was standing right there beside that man, and in a twinkling of an eye, he was gone. In a twinkling of an eye, Philip was gone. Now, some of you will say, there's going to be no rapture. There's going to be none of that. That's not biblical. We're not going to see people disappear. We see in the scriptures that Philip was caught up like this physically, in thin air, gone. And that same word, rapturo and harprazo, in context is the same word used for the being caught up with the Lord and Philip being caught up and snatched up by the Spirit. Also, another biblical event that uses the same word in context is when Paul describes a man being caught up in the third heaven. Okay, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So there has been snatching aways There has been raptures in the Old Testament. There has been raptures that have taken place, but not the type of rapture that the Bible is referring to with the coming of the Lord. But there have been snatching aways and people being caught up in the spirit in context of the word, being caught up, being snatched away. That word rapture basically means being taken up. It means being taken up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 17 is expressing that there will be an event where we will all be caught up and removed from this earth. There will be an event where we will all be caught up and removed from this earth. Now, one must understand that the rapture is an unexpected event that nobody knows when it will take place. This is why you must really have the fear of the Lord. This is why you must really live pure before God, because you do not know the day or the hour. The Bible talks about 10 virgins and how 5 of them were foolish and were not ready for the coming of the Lord, and they missed his coming. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 25 verse 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 25 verse 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him into the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So there will be an event that will take place that we do not know the day or the hour, and there will be a snatching away. There will be an event where people will be taken, and we will say, "Lord, Lord, open the door. Lord, Lord, let us in. Lord, Lord, where have you have gone? Where is my mother gone? Where is my family gone? Lord, Lord, what about me?" But you are too late. You are messing around. You are not ready for the coming of the Lord. It's why the Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The Bible is telling you, live right. God, Jesus is telling you, this is in red. Jesus is speaking, live right, live pure every day. Be a living sacrifice unto God. Keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1, it reads this: "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Like a thief in the night. And when we think about thieves, they come unnoticed. They come in the dark. We can't see them. But we can see the damage, the manifestation of them being there after. We can see the damage. We can see things being stolen. We can see an abduction, them abducting one of our children or something like that, or our wives or something. We can see what has happened. We can see the damage. And it shall be like that with the Lord. He will come as a thief in the night, which means you will not expect it. You will not expect it. This is why you have to make sure every day you are living right before God. Because in these scriptures, the Lord is speaking to Christians. A lot of believers believe, you know, everyone's, all Christians are saved. We ain't got to worry about nothing. No Christian's ever going to go to hell. If that is the case, then we might as well wipe out the book of Revelation. We might as well wipe out the Gospels. We might as well remove half of the Bible. Because Jesus is speaking to believers. Jesus is speaking to Christians. The 10 foolish virgins were waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were waiting for that appointed time. But five of them were foolish. Five of them were foolish. Ask yourself, are you the foolish one? Well, you know of the Lord. You know the rapture. You know the coming of the Lord. But you have not postured yourself to be prepared for his coming. Do you understand me? And there are many people that get caught up in pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. That does not matter. What matters is how you live your life today, because you do not know the hour nor the day. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 through 39, for as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So the Bible's telling us here that an event will take place like the days of Noah, where the flood came unexpectedly, where people were marrying and drinking, people were living in sin, then boom, the flood came. It will be like the Son of Man, so shall it be, like the Son of Man with the rapture, where people are marrying, drinking, living in sin, and then boom, an event takes place. Now, what you must understand is that whether you believe in a pre-trib, in a post-trib, in a mid-trib, it does not matter. Because even if you believe in those things, you will not know the day or the hour either way. But people get caught up in pre-trib, post-trib, all these trib things. It does not matter. Because you could be in the middle of it if you believe in that. You could be in the beginning of it. You could be the end of it. At the end of the day, you will not know when it's going to happen. And the Lord is calling you to be watchful. I don't get in these debates and whatnot. I just fear the Lord every day of my life, because I do not know if tomorrow could be my last day and the Lord calls me. I do not know if the coming of the Lord can be tomorrow. I don't know. So I keep watch. I don't get in those theological debates. I keep watch because I fear God. Because you don't understand that the Bible says it's appointed for once for man to die, then the judgment. So when you die, you are caught up. Your spirit is caught up and you inherit the kingdom of God. But if you die in your sin, your spirit is casted down into damnation. So some of you will experience some type of a rapture when you die, where you are snatched up and caught up by the Lord into eternity. Now, some people will be snatched down into damnation. Do you understand me? Some people will be casted down into damnation. Now, what we must realize is that God has purposely hidden the time of the rapture. God has purposely hidden the time of the rapture. See, there's people that are so focused on pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. So focused on all the timing. God doesn't care about none of that timing. God wants you to keep watch now. God wants you to live a life where it could be tomorrow. God wants you to live a life like today's your last day to live. But some of you are like, the rapture ain't gonna happen anytime soon. But you don't know if you're gonna wake up tomorrow. You don't know if you're gonna wake up. You could die in your sin. How many people die in their sleep? How many people die in a car accident? How many people die and they in that moment they stand before God? All this theological stuff do nothing. Preaching the free of the Lord and Christ crucified and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, is what we need to do. God has purposely hidden the time of the rapture. He didn't say pre-trib, post-trib. He didn't say none of that. It is not for us to know the timing of the Father. We are called to just keep watch and remain faithful. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, when would you restore the kingdom of Israel? You have talked about it, but when will it be? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So the disciples were called to keep watch. The disciples were called to be faithful. The disciples were called to preach the gospel and to be witnesses to the Jews and to the Gentiles. They were not called to say whether it's pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib. They were called to do the work of the Lord and push forth the fear of the Lord and preach salvation and Christ crucified and expose the works of the enemy. But we have people today so focused on the timing of it. And these people be caught up in sexual immorality. They be caught up in pornography. They be caught up in all these things and all of these debates. But in their own life, they do not fear God. Did you know that tonight could be your last night? God forbid. It could be your last night. It could be your last night. God forbid it could. And my question to you is, would you be ready tonight if you died? And would you be ready tonight? Would your spirit be caught up into heaven or casted down into damnation? The Bible says in Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So the Lord is saying, do not focus on pre-trib. Do not focus on mid-trib. Do not focus on post-trib. Do not focus on it being at the crowing of the hour. Do not focus on it being in the evening. Do not focus on it being in the midnight. The Lord says, focus on your life. Keep watch, for I am coming soon, and you do not know the hour. And you do not know the hour. But when we fixate ourselves on the timings, we are going against the word of God. Because yes, there are certain things and seasons we will see that will give us evidence that we are in the last days. We will see certain things that Jesus has said that we shall see. And these shall be like the seasons where feathers, where leaves wither. And we know it's a timing of summer or fall. We will know the signs. But yet, even though we see the signs of the last days, we will not know the hour. We will not know the day. We will not know the year. Some of you believe, we believe in pre-trib. We believe in mid-trib. We believe in post-trib. Even if we're mid, post, or pre, we will not know the day or hour. We will not know midnight or the crowing at night. We will know none of it. So because we know, why was Jesus doing this? So our mindset, so our minds would be not focused on the timing, would be focused on every day living a life, a consecrated life of holiness, every day preaching the gospel, every day preaching salvation, every day going to the Jews and the Gentiles, every day proclaiming Christ. Make sure your lamp is full. What we must understand is that there will be people left behind after the rapture. We have to keep it real. There will be people left behind in the rapture. Whether you believe in pre-trib, whether you believe in mid-trib or post-trib, people will be left behind. This is why I don't get into the debates of the rapture. Because I don't know if I'm going to be alive next morning. I don't know, God forbid. But I don't know. But I know if I were to die tonight, where I will be. I know where I will be if I die tonight. And I have that assurance and conviction that I will see God face to face the next morning. There will be people left behind after the rapture. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 through 44, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Okay, let's stop right there. The Bible says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Verse 41, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That you do not expect. See, if you knew that Jesus was coming 2 years from now or tomorrow, yeah, you'd get your house in order. Yeah, it would be pretty easy to repent. It would be pretty easy to stop fornicating and watching pornography and masturbating. It would be pretty easy. But because we don't know the day or the hour, we abuse grace. Because we don't know the day or the hour, we abuse grace. And the Lord has purposely not told us the day or the hour. Because when you do not know the day or the hour, it truly, how you live your life, it will really project if you truly love Jesus. Because every day you're striving for the Lord. You're striving for Jesus. It's been 40 years. The coming of the Lord hasn't happened. 50 years. The rapture hasn't happened. And the Lord sees that you are truly His. But there are those who say, if I get on my deathbed, then I'll repent. They say, I'm going to wait till later. And that is the danger of it. And the Lord can see your heart that you're waiting to your deathbed. And you say that prayer. And the Lord sees that your mind and your heart is not right. You just did this just to be like, okay, and I'm going to be saved. No. The Bible says that I, the Lord, I search the heart and the mind. And I give every man according to his ways. Do you think you can just repent on your deathbed and be like, And the Lord will see your heart and your mind. That you chose to reject him your whole life. And you had a plan that when you got cancer and the moment you're about to die, then you say, Lord, forgive me. No. But you know your heart and your mind is wrong. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken. So the Bible's telling us that there will be an event that you could be here and your mother will be taken. There will be an event, the Bible is telling us, that you will be at work and someone will be taken. Someone will be taken. So you don't believe in the rapture, but the Bible is telling us, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. So the Bible is expressing here, people will be working. People will be working. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So the Bible is basically saying, if you knew the coming of the Lord, you would fix up your life right now. You would stop fornicating and making excuses and say, we're all in the process of sanctification. You will stop making excuses why you're watching porn every day. If you knew Jesus was coming in 1 week, the habitual sin you're doing right now would stop. I promise you. Because now it will be between eternity in heaven or in eternity into hell. You see, there will be people left behind, just as there will that just as there were people left behind in the flood in the days of Noah. Listen, there will be people left behind, just as there were people left behind in the flood in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, people were left behind. In the days of Noah, people were left behind. The coming of the rapture will mimic the event of the flood, where people were not ready and eventually were left behind in the flood. That's why the Bible says, when it talks about, for as in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came. Do you understand? Hear this revelation here. In a way, Noah was caught up into the ark. In the way Noah was caught up into the ark, it was a foreshadow of the rapture. Noah being caught up into the ark, being taken into the ark, was a form of like a rapture, a form of a rapture, like a foreshadow of the rapture. He was warned ahead of time of the coming of the flood. He was given instructions by the Lord to prepare, to prevent, to be a victim. He was instructed to keep watch, and he prepared for it. And the Lord said he would preserve him and his family and two of every kind of animal, and the rest would be left behind. So even in the days of Noah, there was a form of a rapture. There was a form of a snatching away. There was a form of a taking. There was a form of it, and there was also a left behind. Those people were left behind. The rapture will be an event where people will be left behind, whether you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. People will be left behind. You do not want to be that person. Some of you believe no Christian will be left behind. Then who's the Bible for? Who are all these warnings where Jesus says, keep watch? Who is he talking to? Who is Jesus talking to when he's saying, keep watch? Who is Jesus talking to when he is saying, keep your house in order? Who is Jesus talking to? You don't know the day or the hour. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the unbelievers? Because if he's talking to the unbelievers, we might as well rip half of the Bible out. We might as well rip 80% of the scriptures out. This is why it's not preached in the church. This is why hell is not preached in the church. Because people say, hell's not for any believing Christian. Hell's not for that. So let's rip it out then. Let's rip it out of the Bible. Let's rip it out. Let's stop talking about sin. Let's stop talking about hell. Let's stop talking about people being left behind. Let's rip it all out. Because it's not for Christians. There is red writing in the Bible where Jesus is speaking to the churches in red writing. He's saying, repent. You have lost your first love. I'll remove your lampstand. I'm coming. I'll give every man according to their ways. Now we're going to talk about tribulation briefly. Okay? Listen to me clearly. The rapture does not mean that we will not go through trials and tribulations. Okay? Let me say it again. The rapture does not mean we will not go through trials and tribulations. Some people believe that we'll be raptured and never go through anything. That's not true. Okay? It does not mean we won't be persecuted or killed for our faith. You must understand that there are Christians today already being killed for the faith. There are countries today where they have banned the Bible. It is illegal to have the Bible. There are underground churches in China, I believe, where it's illegal to be Christian. There's certain nations where Christians are being killed for the faith. There's certain nations where Christianity is illegal. So there's certain countries, to them, those Christians in certain countries, they're like, oh my gosh, we're in the depths of the book of Revelation. To them, they're in the deepness of the last days. To them, they're like in the depths of what the book of Revelation is talking about. But some of you think the rapture means that we won't go through anything. That's incorrect. There are Christians dying today already. There are Christians being persecuted. America, Canada, Europe, and certain other places. You're not experiencing what's happening in certain countries like Africa, certain countries in Africa, certain countries in Africa. You're not seeing what's happening in certain places in China, certain places in Iraq. You're not seeing what's happening there in Iran. You're not seeing it. So you can't talk about it. The Americans, the Canadians, some of the Europeans are saying, it's going to get worse. Look what the disciples went through. It's already happening throughout the world. And it's coming more and more and more. And it will come to America. It will come to Canada. There will be a time it will come. And even silently, these things are happening in America and Canada, and you don't know it. Silently. Even in where we live, it's happening silently. The rapture does not mean that we will not go through trials and tribulations. You understand me? The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So as a Christian, we will go through tribulation. There are going to be some things that are not going to be demonic. There are going to be some things you cannot pray away. There's going to be some things that you will go through, because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So you will suffer for Christ. You will go through trials and tribulations. The Bible says that they will hate you because they hated me first. They will persecute you because they persecuted me first. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So you got to understand that there are certain people in China, Africa, Iraq, Iran, certain people there, that their faith is being tested. Now, some of you, us here in America, our faith is being tested because of finances or health or, you know, marriage. So our faith is being tested there. But there are certain people, certain countries where their faith is being tested by, if you do not denounce or renounce your faith, I will chop your head off. There are people today, right now, that are being tested by their faith. Huh. America thinks, Canada thinks, that, oh, it's just a walk in the park right now. You think, because you haven't gone to these other nations. Huh. You don't really know the world we live in today. Because we see things on social media, we go to the restaurants. You don't know the wicked world we live in right now. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So if the disciples went through suffering, we will go through suffering, a form of suffering. We will go through it. We will go through it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So you will go through grieving. You will go through sufferings. You will go through tribulations. You will go through persecution. You will go through these things. Psalms chapter 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. We will go through many trials, various kinds of trials. We will go through many sufferings. We will suffer for Christ. We'll be persecuted. We will go through many afflictions, but it is the Lord that will deliver us from it. Whether it's we die and we go into heaven, or we are raptured, or the Lord casts the demon out of us and we are free, or the Lord delivers us from an intense situation. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. How many of you have that posture where you say, I have the courage that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The disciples were talking about a rapture, but they never saw it. They didn't know the day they were going to die. They didn't get a prophetic word that they were going to die or get their head chopped up. They didn't know. They didn't know that they would walk down the street and someone will grab them and chop their head off. They had to be ready at all times because they were in a battlefield. Every day, their life being threatened. They had to go and stay at different people's houses. They had to go into hiding. They had to travel to different places. Apostle Paul said, pray for us so we may overcome evil and unreasonable men. For not everyone has faith. So there will be people that will persecute you, hate you, make you suffer, kill you, abuse you, put you in the jail, behead you simply because of the gospel. And the disciples went through all of that, but it wasn't the great tribulation. They went through all of that, but it wasn't the great tribulation. They went through all of that. They went through various kinds of trials. They went through tribulations. They went to sufferings. They were killed for the faith. They were martyred. They went through these things. There are Christians today going through the exact same things. But just because you don't see it happening in your life does not mean it's not happening today. Now, I'm going to say this. Though we are to go through trials and tribulations, we are not appointed to wrath. Some of you are going to get upset with this because I know you believe in the dinosaur prophecies and the alien invasion and the zombies and the doomsday and it's all over for us. Nope. With all that happening, we're still not appointed to wrath. With all that happening, we're still not appointed to wrath. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse 11, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So the Bible is telling us we are commanded to what? Comfort and edify each other in the last days. But doomsday is not comfort and edification. We are commanded to comfort and edify each other in the last days. This is why I'm able to call out certain people of being witches, of being false prophets, and being liars. Because the Bible is telling us in the midst of all of this, that we are not appointed to wrath, and we need to comfort and edify each other in the last days. Do you understand me? Any person that calls themselves a prophetic person and they're telling you things that are inconsistent with God's word, you must run away. Accuracy does not make someone authentic. Oh my God. Accuracy does not make somebody authentic. The Bible says this. Listen to this. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm going to read it again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Now, what is that event that will take place to test the whole entire earth that we will be kept from, that we will be raptured from, that we will be snatched away from, that we will be taken away from? What is that? This gives you the comfort to know that whatever hour of trial that is coming to test the whole world, God will keep us from it. God will keep us from it. God will keep us from it. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, verse through 17, I believe. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath hath come, and who can stand? So the Bible is saying here that there will be people that they will cry out because the tribulation will be so bad. The great tribulation will be so bad that they will say, let the rocks and the mountains fall on us. Who can escape the wrath of the Lamb? I told you that the Bible says that we are not appointed to wrath. So that wrath, forgive me, sick. So that wrath right there, the Bible's talking about, is the wrath of the Lamb. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him, capital H. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So in the earth, there are going to be people where it's going to be so bad on the earth, and they will say, let the rocks, let the mountains fall on us. Who can hide from him? Who can run away from the wrath of the Lamb? For the great day of the wrath has come, and who can stand? People do not understand what the wrath of the Lamb is. What the disciples went through doesn't even add up to what the... It's not even a glimpse of what the wrath of the Lamb is. What the disciples went through was persecution. what we will go through, its trials and tribulations, the persecution, we will not see the wrath of the Lamb. We will not see the wrath of God. We will not see it. The Bible, you must understand that the wrath of God is not for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is why the Bible says we are not appointed to wrath, because wrath is for the unrighteous and the ungodly. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, my question to you is this. Are you ready? Today, if we were in a mid-rapture, would you be ready? Let's say we're in the middle of the Great Tribulation, or in the middle of the 7-year period, wherein, would you be ready today, as you are right now standing? Would you be ready? Let's say it's the pre-trib right now and the Lord's coming. Would you be ready? Let's say post-trib. Would you be ready? The question is, are you ready now to die and go to heaven? In context, what I'm talking about, if today was your last day, would you be confident that you are in right standing with God? That is the question. Millions of people die every day. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 through 21. Did you not see within scripture, Jesus never focused on time. Jesus focused on keep watch. Look in the scriptures. Jesus never answered the disciples when it came to time of rebuilding the temple. Jesus only said, keep watch. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons that have been fixed by his own authority. So if the Lord is not focused on the timing, he doesn't want us to know timing, why on earth are you crying about it? Why on earth are you debating? Why on earth are you trying to keep watch? We're going to go through trials and tribulations and sufferings. We're going to go through it, but we will not be appointed to wrath. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 through 21, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes the words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. But you believe once saved, always saved. But you believe that there's nothing that can be done. Jesus said by his own mouth, he said, and if anyone takes away the words from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. But you will say, that's only for unbelievers. No, no, Jesus is speaking to believers. Jesus is speaking to believers. Wake up, church. Jesus is speaking to the church. And he is saying that even if you had a share in the tree of life and in the holy city, that you were living right, but the moment you begin to add and subtract from the scriptures, the Bible says that God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Many of you thought that this would be a discussion of pre-trib, post-trib. That's what the devil wants us to focus on. Those are not salvation issues. Those are not going to help you get right with God. Those are not going to help you with the fear of the Lord. We're getting caught up in so many things the disciples never got caught up on. We're getting caught up in all these things that were never spoken about or debated about within scripture. This is why the Bible says, do not get caught up in these meaningless arguments and debates. Who's right? Who's this? That's not the importance. It never was and it never will be. The truth is that we will suffer for Christ, and we have to live a life with courage that if we die, we will die in the faith, and that we will suffer for Christ. The Bible says in Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. They with me. Some of you, the Lord is knocking at your heart. Some of you, the Lord is knocking at your heart. He's knocking at your door. And you're sleeping around with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You're watching porn. You're living a life that goes against his word. And the Lord is knocking. And sometimes that knocking can be, there's a spirit of witchcraft coming against you. There's a spirit of death coming against you. You don't know it. Repent, come to me, I'm going to deliver you, set you free from that generational curse, and you're still fornicating and you die. And the Lord was knocking at your heart to repent because he wanted to deliver you. But you kept fornicating, you went on a drive and you died in a car crash, God forbid. The Bible says it's appointed for once for man to die, then the judgment. Some of you, the Lord is knocking on your heart today and he's saying repent. John the Baptist's ministry was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But many people, they believe just because Jesus has come and died on the cross, that the ministry of repentance or the call of repentance is no longer applicable for Christians. We have all beheaded John the Baptist every day. We behead him every day when we say repentance is not for Christians. We continually behead the ministry of John the Baptist. We behead the foundation of Jesus' ministry. The foundation of the ministry of Jesus was repentance. Baptism is about your old man dying and your new self coming alive. It's about there being a former manner of life It's about there being a transformation. It's about a Saul becoming Apostle Paul. It's about things changing in your life where you're no longer a porn addict, where you're no longer a prostitute, a fornicator, an adulterer, and you're no longer these things. And I believe that there is a transformation that is coming upon many of you tonight. That God will impress on your heart. That he will meet you at your road of Damascus. And he'll stop you on your way to your fleshly and worldly things. He will stop you at your road of Damascus. And he will say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you continue to disobey me? Why do you continue to fornicate? Why do you continue to lie? And you're at your road of Damascus. You're on your way to your boyfriend and girlfriend's house. You're on your way to rob a bank, and you're stopped at an encounter with the Lord. And in that moment, there's a conviction upon you because you had an encounter with the Lord. The Lord spoke to you. There was a conviction in your heart. He impressed something in your heart, and you turned around. You turned your car around. You turned off the pornography. You turned off whatever you were doing that was hindering you from God. And you decide to accept the call. You decide to accept the call. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads unto destruction. It's either the Lord's way or the highway to hell. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. The Lord is calling many of you to fear him. He's calling you into an area of fear. That word fear means to a deep respect of reverence. And it can also mean a terror. Because the Bible says it's a scary thing to fall in the hands of the Lord. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This is why the Bible says if your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Because it's better to live this life with one arm and one leg than your whole body going to hell. And nobody goes, the Lord doesn't send anyone to hell. The Lord doesn't make anyone left behind. People choose it because they do not fear God. And that's why the Bible says, if we knew the timing of the Lord, then we will all fix up our house and get ready. If you knew when the thief was coming at night, you will prepare for the thief and you will prepare for the thief. But because we do not know the timing, we abuse grace. We abuse grace when we blame it on demons. The choice is yours tonight. Don't focus on what's happening with the drama. Don't even focus on the exposure. And this ministry, all they do is exposure. What matters is are you right with God? Are you right with God? That's what matters. And I want to say this for all of you. Those of you that are living a life of rebellion, those of you that have unforgiveness in your heart and hatred, the Bible says that if you hate your brother, it's like the sin of murder. If you have if you're lusting after a woman in your own heart, it's like the sin of adultery. What is in your heart and your mind? Now, I want to give you guys the opportunity to rededicate your life to Christ. And for those of you who are not saved, this is your opportunity to give your life to Jesus. And for those of you that are like, I don't know if I'm truly saved because I keep living in sin, this is the time where you rededicate your life to Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity. Those of you that are caught up in sin, you can stop today. You can choose to stop today. Now, when I'm talking about sin, I'm talking about habitual sin, the practice of pornography, masturbation, things that you should not do, the practice of murder, the practice of lying. The Bible says anyone born of God does not continue on to sin, does not practice sin. So who is the person that has been living a life, a consistent sin? I'm talking about habitual sin, like you keep doing it on purpose, knowing it's wrong, a particular sin. And I want to give you that opportunity to shame the devil and confess it specifically of what that sin is. Is it porn? Because the Bible says, confess your sins to one another. The Bible says these things, to pray for one another, to confess your sins, so the Lord can cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then I want to pray for you. And it could be a small prayer of deliverance. What is it that you're entertaining right now that is hindering from your blessing? That can also hinder you from not being ready. What is it in your life that is causing you to be like the five foolish virgins? What is it in your life that is causing you to be delayed? What is it in your life that's causing you to be late? The five foolish virgins were late. They were delayed. I'm going to open up the floor for those that want to rededicate their life to Christ. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and come upon you, that he will heal you from soul wounds and brokenness, so you forgive yourself, so you forgive your abuser, so you let those shackles and chains go, that you say, Lord, I make a covenant with you today that I will no longer live a life of sin. Shay Frank said, I'm dealing with unforgiveness of family members. I repent, Jesus. Just say it out loud, Shay, right now, that I forgive. Lord, I forgive them. Help me to heal. Just confess right now, Lord, I struggle with unforgiveness. Lord, I forgive them. You know my heart. I forgive them. But help me, Lord, to heal. And Shay, forgiveness is not about just feeling better after. Forgiveness allows the healing process to start. It gives you an opportunity to start to heal, to start the beginning of it. You can be mad and bitter, and it comes with the process of healing. But God will mold you and shape you and deliver you from that. But you must forgive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for those of you that want to repeat a prayer after me, we're going to repeat this prayer. Father, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would forgive me from the practice of any sin that I've been doing. I rededicate my life unto you. And I make a covenant with you that I will be a living sacrifice. But I pray, God, that you will give me the strength to continue to press on and live for you every single day. I cancel every legal right that I've given to the enemy over my mind, over my heart, over my soul, over my life, over my marriage, over my future marriage, over my children. Lord, I break all of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I pray for your deliverance now in Jesus' name, that any demonic force or spirit that may be hiding or lingering within your body, I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. I command it to be taken away out of your life, out of your finances, out of your body, out of every area of your life may be canceled in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And may the peace of God be with you today. And may every addiction, every spirit of lust and perversion may be broken off your life. Every influence of an evil spirit may be canceled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, people of God, sorry, I know I sound nasally, but it was a blessing to be able to be on here with you tonight. 250 people are watching tonight. Absolutely amazing. And I want to ask you guys a question. Who prayed that prayer with me? Who rededicated themselves? Who was the one that was living in sin and whatnot? You don't have to say the specific sin, but who who prayed that prayer with me? Who prayed that prayer with me? And the reason I'm doing this, because I feel the burden of the Lord. And the most important thing right now is your salvation. The most important thing right now is the fear of the Lord. Even with myself, the Bible talks about in the book of Ephesus that there was a church that was exposing, but the issue with that church is that they lost their first love. The Lord said, I know your hard work and your perseverance, that you cannot tolerate wicked people. You have tested those who call themselves to be apostles, but you have found them to be false. And the Bible says, but I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. So there are people who can be that can expose and still miss the coming of the Lord because they have lost their first love. This is why, whatever you do, you must make sure that the Lord is your first love, that the Lord is your priority. Just doing ministry does not mean that the Lord is your first love. Just doing the things and casting out demons, and it does not mean the Lord is your first love. How are you living in secret? How's your relationship with God? That is the most important thing. We can have the good works all day. We can sing praises. But the Bible says, with their mouth they praise me, but their hearts are far away from me. Vain worship. Vain worship. And this is the call to those who are ready to seek first the kingdom. Because I promise you, though you may go through trials and tribulations, the Lord has something for you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. So the Bible says, first secure yourself in the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then all things shall be added unto you. And I promise, when you make this, when you say today, Lord, I rededicate myself and I make a covenant with you, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you, I promise you, you will be put on track to walk in purpose and destiny. You will be on track to walk on purpose and destiny. And there will be nothing that will be able to stop you, because the Bible says that a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his ways. And the Bible also tells us many are the plans in the mind of the man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans in the mind of the man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And I promise you that if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, his purpose for your life will stand. No witchcraft, no voodoo, no juju will stand. There will be no legal rights. When you come before the Lord and you repent and you do spiritual warfare and you come before the throne of grace in purity, there is nothing that the enemy can do to keep you down. The enemy works with schemes and strategies to make you go to hell. He operates with schemes and strategies so you remain delayed on this earth, so you never fulfill your destiny and your purpose. There are two things the devil is coming after: your eternity in Christ and your destiny in the earth. There are two things the devil is coming after: your eternity in Christ and your destiny in the earth. Santa Rabasoto Robo. Orebebe Shata Rabasoto. Hallelujah. The Bible says here in John 12:40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn. No, that's not the verse I wanted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the objective of the enemy is to blind unbelievers from receiving salvation. The objective of the devil is to blind you of your habitual sin. The objective of the devil in the garden was to blind Eve into believing that if she ate the fruit, she wouldn't die and she would become like God. There was a spiritual blindness that the enemy is using. I'm not here. I know a lot of times I do expose videos and I say, this person's false and this person's true, whatever. But the truest thing I can ever tell you is this: let God's word be true and every man a liar. Focus on the truth of God's word and all will be well with your life. Do not chase a man. Do not fear a man, no prophet, no witch, no warlock. The Bible says that the fear of man lays a snare, but those that trust in the Lord are safe. Trust in the Lord. Fear God. Do not idolize any man. Follow the principles and the standards of God. Follow the principles and the standards of God. And I promise you that you will walk in everything that the Lord has for you in His timing. Anyways, guys, I'm going to try to go get some rest. Pray for me. Not feeling too well. It was a blessing to be able to minister into all of you. Thank you for those that support the ministry. Thank you for those that watch tonight. Thank you for those that share our stuff. Thank you for those that subscribe. Thank you for those that constantly sow into our ministry through Cash App and PayPal. Trust me, you've gone a long way. This is why we're looking 4K right now. And it's super, you know, good and whatnot with the microphone, the setup, and the camera. It's really because all of the donations that you guys have been giving, where we grow and we elevate, and God is just doing a lot through this ministry right now. You know, a lot of invitations for conferences coming up and whatnot. I got invited to go to Atlanta in May to preach in Atlanta in May. So many different places where so much is happening. I'm grateful to God and I'm thankful to God. I have my flaws and my imperfections, but I'm thankful for you all. But keep me in your prayers. Okay, God bless you guys. I think we're gonna do a mass deliverance sometime soon on Zoom. I think that we'll do a mass deliverance sometime soon. We'll gather together when I'm feeling a little better. We'll try to do a mass deliverance. I know a lot of you have been emailing me and messaging me. I'm telling you, I just been going through a rough time the last 4 or 5 days with my body. I forgive me for not really responding and not having the time really to get back to you guys and really, you know, do live streams and stuff. I needed to recover. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. May the Lord keep you and bless you. Sorry for the coughing. In Jesus' mighty name, take care.